Good evening, and I do thank all of you for coming out this evening, and for all of you who have tuned in and are watching on the internet, thank you. Knocked off a little ring here, I'm sorry, but if anyone knows who this ring belongs to, it's a little silver ring, and it does have faith inscribed on it. So it's up here. This morning during sacrament service, it was mentioned many times about the homework assignment that we were given. And just like a lot of the rest of you, I was doing my homework this week, and my homework is my sermon. Some of you might have seen some of it on Facebook. I did post some of it. But it is, it's about the Sermon on the Mount. But as I started reading it, it came to me different. I was looking at it as if I was a Pharisee or a scribe, and as if I knew what all of the prophets said in all of the books, you know, that's the way I looked at the Sermon on the Mount this week. I looked at it from a different point of view than I normally do, and so it came out different for me this time. And I hope to be able to share that with you tonight. So we're going to start with the Sermon on the Mount, 5th chapter of Matthew. And I'm going to read it one verse at a time. And as I read each verse, I'm going to go through and show you what came to me and see how it affected me and maybe see how it affected you or how this might affect you. So, starting Matthew, the 5th chapter, and I'm going to start at the 3rd verse. It says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." I want you to turn to Psalms 51. Going to be doing a lot of page flipping tonight. And you can flip with me if you want to. You don't have to. But Psalm 51, the 17th verse. Remember, it said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." In Psalm 51, the 17th verse, it says, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise." Proverbs, 16th chapter of Proverbs, verse 19. "Better it is to be of an humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud." Proverbs 29:23. "A man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit." So poor in spirit, humble in spirit, a broken spirit. Someone who has been willing to take their own desires and bend it to follow God's desires, to follow God's will. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Isaiah 57:15. "For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place, with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones." Isaiah 66:2. For all those things hath mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. So let's go back to Matthew, 5th chapter. Third verse, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So if we have this contrite and humble spirit, we're going to make it into heaven. We will. Jesus Christ is telling us right here at the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, you know, this is his first really big public speaking experience. And he's telling all of them, the whole crowd, very first thing, blessed are you if you're willing to break down your will and do the will of God. Because if you do that, you're going to inherit the kingdom of heaven. His very first words out there. At least that's what I would get if I knew all of these scriptures as a Pharisee or one of the scribes. Turn to Revelation. 22nd chapter of Revelation. And, you know, in everything that Jesus ever did, everything that he ever said, all of his actions were always pointing to who he was, you know. He was always trying to get them to understand that he was the Messiah, the Redeemer, the Anointed One. He was the one that was sent for their soul salvation. He was always trying to get that across in word and in action. And so if we take his words and turn to Revelation, the 22nd chapter, the 2nd verse, says, in the midst of the street of it and on either side of the river was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. You know, that tree of life is Jesus Christ. It's him that this tree of life is a metaphor for. The leaves of the tree are the words that were written down in the pages of the scriptures, the words that he said, the words that he caused the prophets to write. Those leaves are for the healing of the nations. And if you get anything out of the Sermon on the Mount, get that. Get that, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. It's a promise. This isn't just a saying. This is a promise from Jesus Christ himself. If you will humble your heart, if you will take and break your heart and have a contrite spirit, you're going to inherit the kingdom of heaven. Feast upon the things that I had the prophets write. Feast upon the words that I said. Feast upon the things that I did that are written in these pages. And use it to lift up your spirit, lift up your heart. Use it to bring joy into your life. Because it's a promise. As long as you're willing to do what he said, you're going to have a wonderful eternity. Matthew, the 5th chapter, Sermon on the Mount, verse 4. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Turn to Isaiah, the 61st chapter of Isaiah. Starting at the first verse. It says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He that sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Remember in the book of Jacob, the vineyard, the orchard, the trees that were planted in different lands in the farthermost part of his vineyard? That's us. Trees of righteousness. Those that believe the words that Christ spoke on the Sermon on the Mount. Those of us that are mourning because of the shape of the world right now and the things that we see going on, not just on the news in other countries, but in our own cities, our own neighborhoods. The things that cause us to have sadness in our hearts for these people. If we will have a broken heart and a contrite spirit, he's going to give us joy in our hearts. He's going to lift us up. It's a promise. It's a promise in the Sermon on the Mount. John, the 16th chapter. Verse 20. Verily, verily, I say unto you that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. Remember the joy he promised us? A woman, when she is in travail, has sorrow because her hour is come, but as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. Do you remember that joy you felt when you got baptized, the day of your baptism, and you received the Holy Ghost, and it filled you up to where you thought you were going to explode with it? I mean, that's how I felt. Okay? And the world beats at you and beats at you and beats at you and tries to diminish that. And it tries to quench that spirit in you. But Christ promised. He promised in the Sermon on the Mount. He promised here in John. He says, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. He's going to fill us up again to the brim. And no one, no matter what they do, is going to ever be able to take that from us again. It's a promise. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 7. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye be also of the consolation. Yeah. We all know that life is hard. We all know that there's ups and downs. And we all know that at times we suffer these things. But we will be consoled. We will. It's a promise. Turn to Revelation, the 21st chapter. Verse 4 is a promise. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. It's all going to be taken away. It will. You might have to suffer through a little bit more of this, but it's all going to be worth it. The Sermon on the Mount was so important, he put it in both books. He said it to both groups of people. It was one of the first things he ever did was the Sermon on the Mount, over in Jerusalem and over here. Because it's important, and it's the promises that are in it are so immense. Matthew, 5th chapter, verse 5. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. It's quite a promise. Those people back then thought they were going to get it right away. Turn to Isaiah. Turn to Psalms. Chapter 37. Starting at verse 7. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. Well, there's a promise. The wicked are all going to be done away with. I don't have to worry about all these people that are doing all these wicked things around me. As long as I do what I'm supposed to do and keep his commandments, I'm going to be okay no matter what they do, because they're going to be destroyed. And I'll inherit the earth. You know, that's what, as a Pharisee, that's what you would think, you know, right? Because that's what it says. Yeah. But are you going to inherit the earth now? Or are you going to inherit that new, better earth? Which one would be best? Which one would be preferable? Isaiah, the 11th chapter. Verse 1. I really like this one here, because not only was he telling them about the meek, but he was telling them about himself. You know, and all these things that he's doing, he's always trying to get them to understand, guess what? I am the Messiah. I'm the Redeemer. You know, that was his message. Verse 1, chapter 11 of Isaiah. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. All those things they knew Jesus had. They never could trip him up. They never could catch him. He knew it all. And they all knew what this said. And shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. Think about the woman caught in adultery. How did Jesus handle it? But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. Okay. For the meek of the earth, he's going to do all of these things. And they're going to inherit the earth. That's what he said. Zechariah, chapter 9. Verse 9. This is one that I just had to put in here because it leads into one in Matthew, and we just have to read it. It says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt, the foal of an ass." You know, this is how my thought process went as I'm looking at these things, and I'm thinking, well, what is he telling us? You know, what are all these prophecies telling us? And what is it that Jesus is saying on the Sermon on the Mount? And this guy is telling us that he is the king. Okay, well, that's what Zechariah said. Turn to Matthew, the 21st chapter of Matthew. Fourth verse. Well, no, we'll just start at the first verse. "And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem and were come to Bethphage, unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, Go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied, and a colt with her. Loose them, and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, The Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Tell ye the daughter of Zion, Behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek, and sitting upon an ass, and a colt the foal of an ass." He was not weak. He was meek. A controlled strength. Think about when he was there in the Garden of Gethsemane and they came to arrest him. And just the power of his might knocked all of them down to the ground. None of them could stand in front of him until he told them to stand up. He was not weak, but he was meek. Willing to do God's will in all things. And that's what he expects from us. That's what he demands from us if we want to inherit the kingdom of heaven. If we want these promises on the Sermon on the Mount given unto us. To do his will. Do it in faith, believing and in strength, in the knowledge that Christ will keep his promises. Meekness. Romans, the 4th chapter. Verse 13. "For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith." The righteousness of faith. "Blessed are the meek in their faith, for they shall inherit the earth." 1 Peter, 3rd chapter. Verse 14. Now I'm going to start at verse 8. "Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing." The Sermon on the Mount. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you if ye be followers of that which is good? But, and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. And be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Always be ready. Always be ready to tell people why you have this hope. Let them know that it's because you do fear the Lord. You know that the promises that he has made to mankind are true. The promises of good and blessing and the promises of eternal damnation. Let them know that it's true. Do it in meekness. Yes, it's true. You're right. This is what it said, and I believe it. I'm not going to condemn you because of what it says. But it is true. And you don't have to believe it if you don't want to. But I do. Because I know it's true. Do it in meekness and in fear of God. And always be ready. Matthew, the 5th chapter, 6th verse. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Verse 1, all the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord swore unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldst keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. That's what he told Satan. That's what he's telling us in the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. You want righteousness in your life. You want righteousness in your family. Do you hunger for it? Do you desire it above all other things? Are you willing to put away the sins of the world, the temptations, the big temptations, as well as the small ones? You're willing to put them all away? Are you that hungry? You'll be filled just like they were filled with the manna. And you won't know why your life is okay. You'll just know that it's okay. Because just like with the manna, you won't understand how you got it, except it came from God. Because you were asking for something that was right. Tenth verse, when thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes which I command thee this day. Of course the Pharisees knew this. You know they knew this. Isaiah chapter 49. Yeah, makes you think of that scripture that says, search Isaiah. Yeah, it's amazing. Chapter 49, verse 8. Thus saith the Lord, in an acceptable time have I heard thee, and in a day of salvation have I helped thee, and I will preserve thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people to establish the earth, to cause to inherit the desolate heritages, that thou mayest say to the prisoners, those who are caught up in sin, go forth, to them that are in darkness, show yourselves. They shall feed in the ways, and their pastures shall be in all high places. They shall not hunger nor thirst, neither shall the heat nor sun smite them, for He that hath mercy on them shall lead them, even by the springs of water shall he guide them. The woman at the well come to mind. I am a fountain of living waters. He that drink of this water shall never thirst again. Hunger and thirst after righteousness, it's going to be given to us. Isaiah 55. Verse 1, Ho, every one that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Jesus Christ right here, hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. You thirsty? You hungry? Come to Jesus. That's what he's telling the Pharisees and the scribes. You want righteousness in your life? Come to me. I'll feed you. Just like God gave your ancestors manna, I'll feed you, and you'll never hunger again. Thirsty? Come and drink what I have to offer you, and you'll never thirst again. John chapter 6. Verse 47, Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. How hungry are we? How thirsty are we? What kind of righteousness do we want in our lives? Feast upon Christ. Feast upon his words. And not just you. And not just your family, but he wants us to feed our neighbors that same bread, that same drink. Do you do it? How thirsty do you think they are? I mean, we partook of the sacrament this morning. Did your neighbors get to do that? Do they even know what it is? Do you know your neighbors? Uncle Glenn, I know you know your neighbors. I know that you've had them to your house for prayer. And I know that you've fed them the words of Christ. But do we all do that? I haven't. I mean, I've talked to my new neighbors a little bit. I saw the neighbors on either side of this today, and did I feed them the words of Christ? No. Have I? Yeah, some. Not as much as I've tried feeding you guys, but I have talked to them about it. Is it enough? No. Do I need to do more? Yes. I have to. Because I want to inherit the kingdom of heaven. Matthew, the 5th chapter. Verse 7. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Go back to Psalms, the 18th chapter. Starting at verse 24. Therefore hath the Lord recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands in his eyesight. With the merciful thou wilt show thyself merciful. With an upright man thou wilt show thyself upright. With the pure thou wilt show thyself pure, and with the froward thou wilt show thyself froward. For thou wilt save the afflicted people, but will bring down high looks. For thou wilt light my candle. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. The merciful shall obtain mercy. Only if I let the light of Christ shine forth from me, only if my candle has been lit, can I do this. Only if I have righteousness in me, according to his eyesight, not mine. Psalms 26, verse 8. Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house and the place where thine honor dwelleth. Gather not my soul with sinners, nor my life with bloody men, in whose hands is mischief and the right hand is full of bribes. But as for me, I will walk in mine integrity. Redeem me and be merciful unto me. But I have to stop walking with sinners. I have to leave my sins in order for him to be merciful unto me. I have to walk in mine integrity and keep the promise, keep the covenant that I made to him when I took upon myself the name of Christ by going down into the waters of baptism. Otherwise, there will be no mercy for me. Psalm 37. The wicked borroweth and pray not again, but the righteous showeth mercy and giveth. For such as be blessed of him shall inherit the earth, and they that be cursed of him shall be cut off. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Joel chapter 2. Verse 12. Therefore also now saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your heart, and not your garments. And turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. you remember our homework assignment? Go to God in prayer. Go to God in the scriptures. Go to God in silence and in listening. And go to God in fasting. It was our homework. Turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your heart. Give up your will. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Hebrews chapter 2. Verse 17. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered, being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. This is what Jesus Christ is telling us on the Sermon on the Mount. I know the trials and tribulations and temptations that you go through here as human beings. I know what it's like. But I know that you can rise above all of that. I know that you can live a better life. I know what you want. I know what kind of life you want to have. I know what kind of life you want your families to have, and you want your friends and your neighbors to have. And you can have that if you'll just turn to me. I will take care of you. 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse 9. Here we are, the church of Christ. We've taken upon us the name of Christ. We are his children. And we lay claim to the promise. And this is what he has to say. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. So do you want it? Do you want the promises that were given? Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Do you want it?